Please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. We're looking at verse 19 to 22. I'll take you to about five places in scripture today. And the Lord will use to open your eyes. Today is the last part of the series of deliverance from strongholds. That's part 7. And we're going to look at our position in Christ. Seated with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. Okay? I'd like someone to help me read. So who's going to be? Ephesians 1, 19 to 22. Yes? Who's ready? Ephesians 1, 19 to 22. Please follow in your Bible.
I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him.
I pray that you understand the incredible greatness of God's power. But it did not stop there. You see, if he's just saying that, he's telling you, okay, God is great, God is powerful. I don't think anybody in this church today doubts that God is great and God is powerful. But that's not the purpose of that statement. He said, the incredible greatness of God's power for us. It's for us. He's talking about God's power at work in our lives. He's not talking about God's power up there. Amen? He's talking about the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. Hallelujah. Say, I have power in the name of Jesus. It's not my power. It's God's power at work in me. Please continue.
This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead.
The same power that raised Christ from what? The dead. Is at work in me. Same power that conquered the grave is at work where? In me. Why? Because I believe. It's because what? I believe. Continue.
And seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand.
Now listen. The God's power has raised Jesus from the dead. And you know if you read the story very well, not only was he raised from the dead, he ascended into what? Into heaven. Physical location. I've explained to you before. I said before Jesus came to this world, he was the Word of God. Jesus has always been God. The second person. You have the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Jesus is the eternal Word of God. Never created. Hallelujah. Amen. But he came to the Word. The Word became flesh. When Jesus came to the Word, he became what? A man. Hallelujah. So Jesus is now God living inside what? A human body. He's a model. Hallelujah. Jesus coming to become a man is a model for what you are to be. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is still a man. He's still God living in human body. He is the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. Jesus is the model of what we are to be. Both in this world and in the world to come. Hallelujah. He ascended back, God-man. And where is he now? Continue. Where is Jesus now? Continue.
Now he's far above any ruler.
No. Give me some lines before that. God raised him from the dead. Same power that raised him from the dead. Yes, continue from there.
And seated him in the place.
Seated him. Where?
In the place.
At God's right hand. Hallelujah. Jesus is seated. Someone say seated.
Seated.
Hallelujah. Jesus is seated at God's right hand. Still man. And yet God, hallelujah, is a representative of what you will be like. Hallelujah. Where Jesus lived in this world represents the life you are supposed to live in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fullness of God living in a human body. That's what belongs to the born again believer. Hallelujah. Jesus came to the world for only one purpose. For you. Everything he was for your sake. Everything he did was for your sake. Every victory Jesus won was for you. Hallelujah. And he is seated at God's right hand, the place of power. What is the significance of that place of power? Continue.
Now he is far above any ruler or authority.
Now
or
please
power.
Understand this. Before Jesus came to the world, he was far above the devil. Because all things were created through the Word. Amen? Nothing was created without what? the word. So even Lucifer and the angels were created through the word. Amen? Jesus did not need to be far above them before he became a man. He was already their creator. But he stepped down. Amen? The light of the world stepped what? Down. And became a man. You don't understand the significance. It's not as though he was going back to take his former position. No. The significance is now a man. A man is far above. That's the significance. Jesus, God-man now, as a man. Not as God. As God, he was already above. He made them. But as a man, God exalted him. And he's seated as a man far above. That's what he did for you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the model. That's the real model then. Now he's seated. That seated has no meaning. Far above has no meaning if he's just going back to take his position. No, no, no. As a man. As a resurrected man. He's seated what? Far above. Hallelujah. Amen. Far above what? Tell us what is far above.
Far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come.
Let me read it in King James. He's seated far above all principalities and powers and thrones and dominions and any name that is named, whether in this world or in the world to come. Where is he? Seated. Is he panicking, running helter skelter?
No.
What is he doing?
He's seated.
You know why he's seated? He's won the victory. Yeah. He's won what?
The victory.
Jesus will not fight the devil again. He only fought him once as a man. And the only reason why he fought him was for him, for your sake. Jesus never needed to fight the devil as God. But as a man, he did it for you. And having won the victory, now he is what? Seated. You know when you sit, it's a sign of victory. It's a sign of rest. You know when you're at rest. Attention! At ease. Do you sit at attention? Yeah, if you're in the army, attention! Do you sit? He's seated. He has won the victory. Hallelujah. He has what? That means that Satan is a defeated foe. Amen. Satan is what? Who defeated him? Cameron? It's Jesus. Why did he defeat him? For you. Jesus never needed to defeat the devil before. God is far, far higher than Satan. Satan is created. God is not. The only reason why Jesus defeated Satan, because he had to do it as a man for you. So that he represents you. Amen? If Jesus as a man could defeat Satan, if you are in him, you can. Amen? He's seated, where is he? Far above. I'm coming back to that. I just wanted to emphasize that. Sure, I'm taking you somewhere. Verse 23.
And the church is his body. It is made full. And
listen to that. If the church is his body, who is Jesus? The head.
Yeah.
Amen? Can you separate the head from the body?
No.
Well, you can. But what's the implication? Hallelujah. The moment, for example, that the body is separate from the head. Where are the doctors? Where's my mic? Let's have some analysis. How long does it take? You know, when the head is separated from the body, how long does it take before a person checks out?
Seconds, instantly, basically.
Seconds, instantly. Well, we know chickens, yeah. We have some headless chickens that dance about, yeah. Hallelujah! You cannot separate the head from the body. But you can. When you do, there's just one implication. Death. Hallelujah. So you see, if you are not staying vitally connected to the head, you will not enjoy the life that he has won for you. Amen? That's why we as believers, we have to stay vitally connected to the head. He said, abide in me. Yeah? and let my words abide in you. Then you will ask whatever you will, and it will be given. He said, but Father, I've asked whatever I will, I didn't get. Abide in me. You must stay vitally connected to the head to benefit from the life that is in the head. Because the life that is in the head belongs to the body. Actually, the head functions through the body. There's no, it doesn't matter how good, how smart your brain is. You can do nothing without your body. Hallelujah. That gives me a revelation that everything Jesus wants to do in this world now is through the church, both as a body and individual members. Amen. I'm the Jesus that the world is waiting for. And so are you. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is seated up there, but he's going to operate through me and you. Amen. And all that qualifies me for that is that I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. It doesn't belong to everybody. But if I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, he said, Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do it. And even greater works. I know we don't understand that fully. He said, why will you do greater works? He said, because I go to the Father. You know what he means? He's seated. Hallelujah. I go to the Father means, he said that before he died. I go to the Father means, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to go to hell and defeat Satan for you. And I will ascend in victory. And I will sit at the right hand. Because of that now, he has won the victory. That's why I can do the same works and greater works. It also belongs to you. Amen? Bible says, he gave him to be head over all things. Verse 23. For the benefit of the church. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus is Lord. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, put up your hands and wave it. If you don't, just put it down. Hallelujah. I believe that Jesus is Lord. You don't know the meaning of Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's not saying Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. He's not saying Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord means, as a man, he's head over all things. The Lord. Yeah? It means he is head over what? He has authority. And that authority has been delegated to his body, the church. Hallelujah. See, every authority that Jesus has is useless if he cannot function. Amen? Where is Jesus now, physically? We know spiritually Jesus is here. Amen? Spiritually Jesus is where? Here. He's everywhere. But physically, where is he? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So how is he going to operate in this world? Jesus is physically seated. Yeah? Sammy, have you seen Jesus physically? When was the last time you saw him physically? Hallelujah. So how is Jesus going to operate in this world now? Tell me.
It's through us.
It's through me. And through you. Well, it may not be through you if you are not in Christ. But if you are in Christ. Hallelujah. If you are in Christ, you are a part of his body. You may be a little finger. But you are still a part of what? His body. You know, there are sometimes you may think your little finger is not much to you. But the day you need to put it through something tiny, you will remember that you have what? Little finger. Hallelujah! There's no useless part of the body. There's what? No useless part of the body. Let's go to Ephesians 2. I'm building something. I want you to understand something. We're talking about deliverance. And I found that you will never, never, never enter into the fullness of deliverance until you understand who you are and what God has done for you. If you see the devil as so much bigger than you, yeah, you cannot defeat him. Amen? You know, when David was going to face Goliath, he didn't see Goliath. He saw God. Hallelujah. He said, "Who are you?" Everybody's afraid. Running. He said, You're not circumcised. Finished. That means you don't even belong to the covenant. You don't belong to the covenant. He saw you as nothing compared to God. Hallelujah. You know, Goliath did not run to David. David ran to Goliath. Hallelujah. Because he saw God. Hallelujah. It's God you must see. If you're going to overcome the devil, don't keep seeing the devil. See God. Because God is greater. Hallelujah. Is what? He's greater. Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. Let me go to Brother Leader. Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. Please go in your Bible. And I want to link him. Remember, Ephesians 2 is a continuation from Ephesians 1. Amen? It's the same continuation. So the discussion is continuing now. It's just later they split it into chapters. Okay. It's one letter. Go on then. Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. Yeah. I'll pause you from time to time.
All right. And you are the quickened who were dead in trespass and sins.
Before, we were all... No one is... I was saying this in discipleship course. No one can be born again of their own power. So I just made up my mind that I will start following God today. Long before you thought of God, God has been working to get you. Amen? Amen. Long before. Amen? You are not born again by your power. God has been working to get you. Hallelujah. Because he loves you. With an everlasting what? So what you did was to say yes finally. It's like a man chasing a woman for marriage. That's the only reason why you should chase a woman, by the way. Don't chase them for any other thing. Are you listening to me, men? Men, just shout hallelujah. Don't chase women for any other reason than to marry them. And if you're already married, you've made your choice. You've made what? I don't care whether it's the perfect will or the permissive will. You've made what? So live with and make the most of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make the most of it. Don't complain. You made the choice. So now, the prayer should not be complaining. The prayer is, God, give me wisdom and grace and strength to make this thing beautiful. And he will do it. Hallelujah. He will what? He will do it. Right. Hallelujah. So God was chasing you before you ever knew him. And before you ever loved him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the one that began the good work in you. That should give you some confidence that he is able to complete it. But the only but there is, he can't complete it without your cooperation. Because you won't get born again if you didn't cooperate with God. Huh? There are some people going to hell. God has been trying to get them, but they refuse. They said no. Hallelujah. He will take you to destination. Say, God, will take me to a good destination. Because he began the good work. Amen. What did they continue? We were dead in our sins and in our iniquities.
Wherein in the past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air.
You see, that shows you again that the spirit behind the world system is essentially evil. You talk about politics, democracy, military dictatorship, autocracy, whatever. Every war system, there's still a spirit behind it. And that spirit is essentially evil because talk about the prince of the power of the air. And you can take it literally. In the atmosphere, in the first heavens and second heavens, there are spiritual forces operating, trying to dominate lives, trying to dominate homes, trying to dominate nations. Amen? It's not everything that is appealing to you that is just like face value. Amen? We taught it in this church, and this is the final part of the series. If there is a pattern to it, there is a force behind it. Amen? If there is a pattern, it's happening over and over and over and over again, there is what? A force. A force. Hallelujah. And that force needs to be broken. Amen. Say, I claim my deliverance over every force trying to oppress me. In Jesus' name. Please continue. He said that prince of the power of the air, that prince of the unseen forces, is the spirit that is now working in the life of those who don't know God.
Disobedience.
He said, I know, but there's nothing wrong with me. I'm a normal human being. And it's just I don't believe in religion or in Jesus, but I'm normal. I tell you, you are normal, actually. I believe you are normal. But you are still under the dominion. It's like whenever he needs to, he can manipulate you. Continue.
3. Among whom also we all had our conversations in the times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Please, let me just stop there. Let me explain. Before I got born again, I was under the judgment of God. Amen? You know why? Because I did not belong in the house. I was an outsider. You understand? I was not a citizen. Amen? At best, I was a refugee. But now, I have accepted Jesus. He is my Lord. I now belong in the family of God. The first implication is that I don't know about you. Actually, I know. I'm no longer under the judgment of God. Amen? I'm not a child of wrath. I'm a child of blessing. Amen? I'm not perfect, but I'm complete. Now, understand that, and I'll show you another scripture. Listen to this. I'm not perfect, but I'm complete. I'm not mature. I've not reached fullness of maturity, but I'm what? Complete. That means I have every potential, every functionality in me. It just needs to grow and develop. I'm complete. I'm complete in Christ. Jesus said, I'm complete in Christ. I'll show you the verse later. We've read it today. But I'm not perfect. I'm growing unto maturity. But I am fully accepted. I'm a citizen of heaven. If I die today, I know exactly where I'm going. I have the passport. Hallelujah. I belong. It's valid. It's validated. It has not expired. I am in him. I am in what? In Christ. I always say, if you're in Christ, you know you have eternal life. But if you walk away, you don't have any guarantee. Because the life is where? In him. John 1. He said, in him was. And the life is what? Light of man. Hallelujah. Please finish it.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
When did he love us? When we got born again or before? When did God love you? Before. It's before. Hallelujah. He still loves you now. But he loved you before. Well, now you are experiencing more of his love because you have received it. Amen? Those who reject God's love cannot experience it. Huh? But he still loved us before. I told you, he started it. He started it all. Hallelujah. He started it all. But you just need to cooperate with him. So he just said, I'm not an accident. My life is not an accident. God has a good plan for me. You have to believe it. Your personal identity, your inner image matters a lot. Your mental, this is even mental. Your mental, how do you see yourself? How do you see your life? Where do you think you're going? Yeah? How do you see yourself? My inner image is that I'm becoming greater and greater every day because God's plan for me is so great, I can't even attain it. I can just continue to, grow in it. Hallelujah. Because he loved me before I knew him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why I know that even whatever is coming against me does not have enough power. Does not have enough power compared with the power God has already released in my life. I just need to cooperate with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when I pray, I hardly beg God. Begging is for the foreigner and the stranger. Amen? A stranger should beg. And a foreigner, what? Should beg. Because they don't have any right in the kingdom. But God is my Father. Hallelujah. It wasn't always. But when I made Jesus my Lord, God became what? My Father. And in the Bible, He has already given me quite a lot of promises. Amen? He said, ask, and you shall what? Receive. Let me teach you this principle. You can ask and not receive. And one of the basic principles is that if you ask, but you don't believe that you will receive, you've destroyed the law of faith. Amen? When you are asking, you must ask believing that what? You will receive. And even when you are waiting for the answer, you need to still believe that what? You will receive. He said, when I receive it, I will believe it. You've destroyed the law of faith. Amen? Now, he said, well, how can you believe that you receive when you ask? Because you've connected with a promise God has made in His word about that issue. I always say, if I ask for another person's wife, even I like, I believe that I will receive it. It's not God that will grant it. If I keep pushing it, an evil spirit may come and try to grant it, but not God. Are you with me? But if I find a promise in God's word about my life, that is the guarantee. That's why I believe I will receive it. I found the promise. Hallelujah. Let me give you a promise in the Bible. It says, you shall serve the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter, I think verse 23. Deuteronomy, I think it's 23:25. You can cross check it for me, Deuteronomy. Sister Yemi, find that for me. You should know it. He said, you will serve the Lord your God, and He will what? Bless your bread and your water. Do you know, honestly speaking, I'm telling you, I believe that your bread and water is your provision. I believe my provision is blessed. He said, oh, but what do you mean? I mean, you can ask God if you are in need. But I believe my provision is blessed because I have the promise. So when I'm asking believing that I will receive. And even if there's a delay, I'm not going to back off because the promise is there. And it belongs to me. Hallelujah. Please finish it. I know I paused enough. I will be patient now.
5. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ.
When we're dead, as we received Him, He made us alive. Now you are born again. It's not a physical birth, it's a spiritual birth. Now you love God. Yeah? Before you didn't know God, but now you love God. You are alive. Now you want to please God. You are alive. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, continue.
And had raised us up together.
So He made us alive. We were dead in our sins. He made us alive. He has raised us up. What else did He do?
And made us sit together in heavenly places.
He has done what?
Made us sit together.
He has made us to what? Sit together. With who?
With Christ.
Who was seated before?
Christ.
So what did He do to us? He made us sit together with Christ. In case you are doubting, please finish it.
He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ.
He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. I will explain that to you. Your physical location is here. Do you agree? Hello? Physically, where are you now? On the earth. But your spiritual location is in Christ. And where is that location? Seated. He made you to sit what? Together with Christ. Where? Where? In heavenly places. Let me apply this to prayer. So if you are praying, you say, God, I have to pray hard so that, you know, we know that all these devils and demons, they are in the atmosphere. So I have to pray very hard before my prayers can get through to heaven. You know what you did? You threw away that truth that you are seated with Christ. Now you're on the earth physically. You're using your physical location to try to achieve a spiritual result. And that's why you get little results. Amen? I'm physically on the earth, but I'm spiritually in Christ. Bible says, my life is hid with Christ in God. When I pray, it depends on how I see it. If I see my prayer like, rising from the physical to heaven, I've reduced the power of that prayer. But if I see my prayer as someone seated in Christ who has direct access to the throne, hallelujah, through the blood of Jesus, my prayer is above the devil. My prayer is where? But depends on how I see it. Amen? If I see it as physical, that's exactly where it is. That's why the Bible says that the just shall live by what? Now listen, this is the importance of this thing. When I want to take authority over evil forces, how I see it matters. Amen? If I see myself as out of Christ, as a human being, trying to command the devil in the name of Jesus, it has little power. Because as in your physical power, you are no match for the devil. He's a spirit being. He's a dragon. Yeah, in your physical power, you're no match. Oh, but don't say, I don't want to have anything to do with the devil, like I'm afraid. Whether you vote or not, is your enemy. Amen? You know bullies. You know bullies? Have you ever met a bully? They don't take permission. They are bullies. Amen? So the best way to react to a bully is protection, not denial. Amen? Playing the ostrich does not solve the problem of a bully. Amen? Hallelujah. See yourself as seated. Because you say, but I'm not perfect. Anybody believe they are not perfect here? Come on. You are perfect? Open your Bible to Colossians chapter 2. Let me show you some things there. Colossians 2. So let me see. Let me try to round up within 6 minutes. So finish by 1:45. Colossians 2. Let me show you something about the difference between perfect and being complete. Colossians chapter 2. Because you can't walk in victory over the devil if you don't understand who you are. It's just not possible. You can go through the motions, do everything I told you to do. You still need to know who you are. Now let me tell you something. One thing. If you know who you are in Christ, the devils will know you. He said, Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? You know why? Because they didn't know who they were in Christ. In fact, I don't even know whether they were in Christ. I'm talking about the seven sons of Sceva. But when you know who you are, it's like a fragrance that spreads out of you. Yeah? It speaks. Hallelujah. It what? It speaks. Say, I know who I am. Very important. Amen. If you are a prince, the heir to the throne of England, or is it throne of England? Is it the Queen of England or the Queen of Britain? England. But you don't know. You go to the pub, someone will slap you. You will cry. You cry and walk away. Because you don't know who you are. That's why most of the royal people, particularly those who are in line to the throne, from little, they teach them who they are. In fact, the greatest power they have is the knowledge of who they are. Hallelujah. Colossians 2. You have 5 minutes. Let's just do it fast. Colossians 2, and then I'll take you to Hebrews 2. Then we finish those two things, those two areas I want to show you. Colossians 2. We're reading now. Let's have another person. I want New Living Translation this time. Colossians 2, verse 9 to 15. New Living Translation. Colossians 2, 9 to 15. New Living Translation. Yes.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily.
Amen. So, is that New Living Translation?
King James.
Yeah, okay. I wanted New Living because it says it in a different way. Anybody? Thank you. Thank you so much. New Living Translation.
Okay, let me go. Yeah, someone has not spoken today. Actually, you've not spoken. Colossians 2, 9 to 15. Please follow your Bible. Yes, go on.
Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I failed with?
No. That's not Colossians 2. Oh. That's looking like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 15.
Okay. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body.
This, I want you to understand that. The essence of that statement is to tell you that this thing can live in a human body. Hallelujah. So you start, before you start telling me that you are not Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, but I'm not Jesus. You've demoted yourself. Because God's plan for you is to be like Jesus. Amen? That's God's plan. Amen? That's God's plan. If God's plan was not that you should be like Jesus, Jesus will not leave this world. He will stay. So that he can continue to be Jesus. The world always needs Jesus. The only reason why he went is that he knows that you can function for him. Amen? In Christ dwells the fullness of God in a human body. That's my model. Hallelujah. Continue.
So you also are complete.
Now listen to that. Verse Colossians 2:10. Is that 10?
Yeah, verse 10, yeah.
It says, so you also are what?
Complete.
Did he say you will become complete?
No.
Did he say you are trying to be complete?
No.
Is that what?
You are complete
in him.
Through your union with Christ.
You are complete. Say, I'm complete.
I'm complete.
I don't know what that means to you. Say, I'm complete.
I'm complete.
Through my union.
With Christ.
With Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you are single, you are still complete. Through your union with Christ. If you are married, you are what? You are still complete. But you are not complete because you are married. You are complete through your union with Christ. If you have children, you are not complete because of your children. You are complete what?
Through
your union with Christ. If you don't have children yet, but they are coming on the way, you are still complete. How?
Through
your union with Christ. Hallelujah. Now listen, he did not say you are perfect. He did not say you are perfect. He said what? A baby is born complete. But a baby is not born mature. There is a growing process. But a baby is as much a human being like a 99-year-old man. Say, I'm complete in him.
I'm complete in him.
You know what means? You know what that means? I have every potential of Christ in me. When did you become complete? When you were born. When you were born again. When you were born again. When you were born again, that's when you were what? Complete in him. Anytime you say I'm a child of God, that's the meaning. You say you're a child of God, that means I have the God nature in me. Amen. I'm a child of God means what? I have the God nature in what? Me. Say, just say, I have the God nature
in me.
I am complete in him. I can do everything that the word says I can do. You know the Pastor Ben? That Bible belongs to you as much as it belongs to me. The only difference between us is who will take hold of it. Hallelujah. I'm complete. I'm complete. Say, I'm complete.
I'm complete.
Please read verse 14 and 15.
14.
Please follow. Verse 14 and 15. We're rounding up gradually. 14 and 15.
He cancelled the record of the charges against us.
Jesus has cancelled the record of all our sins, all the bad things we've done. Yes.
And he took it away by nailing it to the cross.
He took it away by what?
Nailing it.
Do you know I nailed it when they were nailing him? Hallelujah. Continue.
In this way,
this is the revelation I want you to catch. In this way,
he disarmed the spiritual rulers.
He disarmed the principalities and the powers.
And authorities.
Yeah, continue.
And authorities. He shamed them publicly.
He shamed them publicly.
By his victory over them.
Is that cross? Where, you know, it was like, we were, you know, taunting him. It was like open shame. That's what was happening physically. But spiritually, actually, he was disarming all those principalities and powers that are trying to oppress you right now. Right now. Because these guys are bullies, remember? Yeah? A thief does not follow the law. Yeah? What they understand is where force. Hallelujah. He has disarmed them. Satan is already disarmed. But what I learned from that place is how he disarmed it. You need to understand how God disarmed Satan in your life. Let me explain how God designed it. I did that last week. God designs Satan in your life by dealing with your sins. Without righteousness, without a sense of righteousness, you cannot take authority over the devil. Because you think, I'm not worthy. Amen? Hallelujah. He has nailed it to the cross. Your sins. He has what?
Nailed it. The cross.
Hallelujah. That's how he deserves Satan in your life. I'm just, please understand what I'm saying. So let's say, well, Pastor, I still sin. I know. I still make mistakes too. The Bible says, if we confess, what will he do? And to do what? You know the meaning of that? It means that the fact that you have missed it is no reason for you not to submit to the oppression of Satan. What you need to do is plead the blood. Now, when I say plead the blood, I'm not saying say plead the blood. I'm telling you that you have to stand on what the blood of Jesus has done for you. Amen. Don't say, no, because of what I've done, you know, I deserve some punishment for Satan for a time. God did not make it that way. Amen. Oh, yes, you will be under punishment if you continue to live in sin. Amen. If you continue to deliberately, and willingly live in sin, you're stubborn. You're not going to listen. But I tell you something, if you are repentant, someone say repentant. That's the point. So, but Pastor, I may still do. Yes, but are you repentant? That's the important thing. What you're doing now, are you repentant or are you continuing in it because that's what you like to do? If you are repentant and you've gone to Jesus, the blood of Jesus, what? Let me explain the meaning of repentance to you. Repentance means I don't want to do it again. Amen. It didn't mean I will never do it again. Because some things overpower you. Especially because you've not grown. That's why you need to grow. If you grow, some things will not bother you again. That's why you need to give more attention to the word of God and the spirit of God and to fellowship and service. Those are the three, four ways you grow. The word, the spirit, fellowship and service. You will grow fast. Then you will not fall into some things again. But the fact that you may fall into it again does not still stop the fact that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from what? That's how God deserves the devil in your life. Because by doing that, you can stand on the platform of righteousness and say, Satan, I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. Live my life. Never submit to oppression. Because the blood of Jesus has already disarmed the devil in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me see the time. Probably just going to stop there. I wanted to open one more play, but let's leave it for today. Okay, leave it there. Let's rise up. Hallelujah. Say, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Far, far above all principality and powers and thrones and dominions. That was paid for. Say that. By the blood of Jesus. It's not your work of righteousness that paid for it. It's the blood. If you understand how what you believe matters a lot. Amen? You will never make it without Jesus helping you. You can't make it to heaven on your own platform. You can't make it to victory on your own platform. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. So now you have Jesus. Stand on Jesus. That's where your victory belongs. Hallelujah. The devil is a defeated what? Foe. You know, someone shared this with a man of God. He woke up one night and there was a lot of noise in his house. And that woke him up. So what's this noise? So he went downstairs. And then he saw a manifestation of the devil. You know, like really very terrible. He just said, you know, based on what he knew. He said, oh, I didn't know it was you. And he just went to sleep. That's what he knew. What you know, what you believe matters. What you believe matters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing as we round up. Talk to God today before we sing. And just say, thank you, Jesus. for making me alive in Christ, for raising me up together with Christ, for causing me to sit together in heavenly places. I love it. With Christ Jesus. That's where I am spiritually. Yes, I'm on the earth physically, but spiritually I am in Christ. Far above all principalities and powers and thrones and dominions and every name that is named. That's where I am spiritually. Say thank you, Lord, for my position in Christ. Thank you because I'm complete. I'm complete in Christ. We're going to sing hallelujah. You have won the victory. I love it. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. And he won it for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I just look for the slides. I just get the slides so we can follow. Sing hallelujah, you have won the victory for me. Hallelujah.
I'm sick with you.